Well, good morning. I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter for a moment, to chapter 1. It's a little difficult for us to just simply open the Bible to 1 Peter and not think about Peter. Peter certainly was a very colorful individual. I sincerely believe that he loved the Lord, but probably, like a lot of us, didn't understand fully what it means to follow Christ, what it means to give our lives away. Well, by the time of writing 1 Peter, Peter undoubtedly had matured. He had suffered some persecution, and not too long from this point in writing, he would suffer death, even as the Lord foretold it. Why did God preserve his word? Well, that's easy. Jesus. Yes, that's true. But there's so much more, and the reason why we break bread is so that we would remember all that Christ has done for us. Peter, in his first epistle here, has all kinds of admonitions for us. You know, therefore, you should. And as you read it, you sometimes only focus on that, but what we're going to look at here right now in these two passages, the one that was read and the one we're going to read now, is the basis, the reason for all of these admonitions, why it is that you and I should live holy, why it is that we should break bread, why it is that we should love one another, why it is that we should forgive one another, why it is. Beginning at verse 18. And if you only just go back a few verses, you'll see verse 13, therefore, and since you, in verse 17, and we can go on, and you'll see these repeated exhortations in 1 Peter. Peter has matured, and he understands why it is that he should be willing to give his life for the sake of his Savior. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And you'll remember we spoke about last times last week. The days in which we live in are the last days. We anticipate the Lord's soon return, and the world will undergo a time like no other time. And of course, our desire is to see as many as possible before that time should come upon the world, is to come see people come to know the Lord and to appreciate. And as we shared here this morning in our ABF, how can they hear unless we go? And how can they be moved unless we are prepared to do whatever it takes to woo them, to persuade them, to appeal to them, to seek to draw them? Through him, verse 21, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And so now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that word purified comes up in Hebrews chapter 1, it comes up in 1 John chapter 3. Purification of the life is a holy life committed to Christ, but out of a clear understanding a marvel at the grace and the love of God. And the reason why we break bread again is so that we would marvel, so that we would be taken aback by the beauty, the love. By obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers. And I can remember when I underlined that next portion of the verse, and I thought about the love that I had for some of my brothers and sisters in Christ many years ago, where we were fellowshipping in Timmins, and then as we moved to Wawa, and every time I would read the verse, it took on a deeper meaning. It meant that I couldn't just forget about the people that I knew in Timmins. It wasn't that I was going to forget the people I met in Moose Jaw. It wasn't going to be that I was going to forget the people I met in Wawa, and certainly won't forget the people I've met here. But that we are to love one another deeply from the heart. And again, the breaking of bread is where we do that together and seek to love the Lord. Remembering him in his death and his resurrection, and remembering the life that he led for us. You have been born again, next verse, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring, powerful word of God. I inserted the word powerful because it is. It's the word of God and the truth of the message that the Spirit of God uses to persuade us, to teach us, to remind us how deeply loved we are by God. I'm going to invite the men here to come up. I'll just open a word of prayer here and then give you opportunity to share here this morning the things that you've been meditating upon. And again, the diversity of the body and opportunities to share are just not something that we should take lightly and should welcome and participate. Lord, we come to you this morning, and again, even as we've read and have sung and meditated already this morning, we realize that the people that sit next to us are no different than we are. They too have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They too, Lord, are experiencing forgiveness and a knowledge that God loves them, and peace with you. That each one here in this room who has placed their trust in you have the gift of life. And so together, as we've been singing and meditating upon the different songs and just giving thought to the truths that have been expressed, yes, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you as you deserve. And we recognize that had you not given us these very simple emblems, the bread and the cup, we likely would not be here this morning. And so we're grateful that you reminded your disciples that they were to participate in this very simple remembrance until you come. And so we pray that, Lord, it would encourage us, strengthen us, but not only us, but our resolve, Lord, to represent you rightly, and not only for an hour, but for days and weeks until you should appear. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I apologize for my shaky voice. I'm probably a little bit nervous because it's my first time doing this, so I apologize in advance. So I'm just going through a book called Understanding the Purpose and Power of Men, God's Design for Male Identity. I was sharing this with my buddies, Frank and whoever was there, but it was super funny because when I first learned this, I was having this moment, but when I shared it with them, then they were like, yeah, Kevin, duh, let's go, man, let's get with the times, you know. So maybe the ladies here are gonna be reacting like that. Because I did. Not saying that I'm a lady in any way, but... Yeah, we were talking about men, yeah. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. So I'll read an excerpt out of this this book here. Hopefully I can find it here. Right. Did you know that the Hebrew concept of naming things actually means to possess them, to own them, I guess? This idea is very, very important in the Bible. Why did God tell the male man to name all the animals? He could have done that himself, obviously, right? Why didn't God name them himself? It is because whatever you name, you own. Whatever you name, you control. Yeah, very interesting. That's why God named the male. God called us his children because he always wants to have rights to us. We belong to him. In him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28. No one else has a right to you because God named you. Do you understand that this is why Satan has no legal rights to you? And that's where, moment, right? I'll read it one more time. No one else has a right to you because God named you. Do you understand that this is why Satan has no legal rights to you? You are already named, so he can't name you. I'm going to mention something later that I shared this with Mike, and just going to share something later about that. But this idea is why God made sure that Mary and Joseph didn't name Jesus. He personally named his son. Why? He didn't want Jesus' earthly parents to possess him. He knew that the day would come when Jesus would preach 12 years of age and, or sorry, would reach 12 years of age, and his mother would ask him, why did you leave us, son? And he would have to say, I must be about my father's business. He named me. You didn't name me. See Luke 2, 48-49. And then I'll paraphrase this last part here. And the author of the book said, let's go one step deeper. We still use this concept today. We just don't realize it. When Jonas and Brittany, you guys were married, right? when you guys married, right? Jonas Rogalski gave his name to Brittany and said, it's Brittany Rogalski now. You named her, which means nobody else can take Brittany away from you, right? So nobody else can name that same person again. And that other thing that I was going to say about God or Satan can't have any legal rights to you. You are only allowed, when you give Satan power to in your life, then he has somewhat of a control over you. But if you come back to him, he's willing to accept your faults and forgive you for them. So yeah, that's what I was reading here in the last month or so. So yeah, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. It's only in your mercy that we have another day to live, and for unbelievers to give them one more day to accept you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace to us. Pray that if there's any unbelievers in this room and outside of this room, Lord, that you would burn in their hearts, that they would want to know you, not only know you, because the devil even knows that you exist, that they would accept you as Savior. Yeah, Lord, that is my desire today, and that more people would get to know you, and as we long for your second coming, and remember what you did on the cross for us. Yeah, it's so freeing, Lord. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. In your name, amen.
Question was asked, why are we having communion today again? And Caleb says, well, to remember again. So it's very good, even little kids give thought to it. Let's read chapter 4, verse 7. This is about abiding in fellowship. Context is believers. John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. And this is, the know here is not just knowledge of him, but knowing him, having fellowship with him. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I've been thinking about this passage quite a bit for the last few weeks, and it's just becoming more and more clear how very critical it is that we love one another, that we are in fellowship with one another, that we're in fellowship with God, and that we honor him by the way that we live. For those that weren't here this morning in ABF, a statement came out that we... I love you too. That we can't, even if we were to die for our own sins, it wouldn't have been enough. You know, if we're thinking that, well, Jesus died for our sins in our place, and it really struck me, you know, that even if I had died on the cross, it wouldn't have been enough. My life was not sufficient to pay for the penalty of my sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for the life that you have given to us. Thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for your mercy toward us, as Frank shared this morning in Psalm 103, I think it was, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you so much for that. Thank you that you are a loving God, and that you've called us to love one another. We also read in the Bible that by this will all men know that we are your disciples, by our love for one another. So I pray that you help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the last little while, we've been going through, in the EBF, we've been going through the studying the atonement and the different views on that, and I've been finding it very interesting. But today we were talking about two goats that would get brought to the priests, and the one goat would be killed, and the other goat, the sins would get put on that goat, and that goat would get led away. And the sins were being put on that goat and taken away from the place where God was. And it reminded me of a verse in Psalms 103. I'll just read, I'll just start at verse 1, Psalms 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases? Who remedies our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the opposed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always curse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to his iniquities. For as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And this is the verse I wanted to draw attention to. Verse 12 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So the Lord has, Jesus has died on the cross for us, and he's removed our sins, not as far as that goat was taken into the desert or the wilderness, but he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And if you continue to go east, you'll never get to a point where you're going west. And if you go west, you'll never get go to a point where you're going east. So, in a sense, our sins have been removed to a place where we can't find them. And that's because of the work that Jesus did. He was the perfect sacrifice for us, which, as Frank was sharing, is part of the reason we can't die for our sins, because we weren't perfect. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. So, and I'm just thankful that we can be here this morning remembering him for what he has done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you, as the psalmist showed us, that you've loved us, and that you don't give us what we deserve, but you gave of yourself for us. And Lord, that is why we are here this morning, to remember you and thank you for this, and that we can put our trust in the fact that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and we don't have to think about them anymore, but just look to you and put our faith and trust in the work that has been done on the cross that you did for us. So Lord, I just want to thank you for that this morning, and Lord, may we just focus our attention on you this morning as we remember you in this communion here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's kind of nice. I get up here, my nose clears up a little bit. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. starting in verse 1. It says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Those last couple of verses, there's a song, or that's the lyrics to a song, and really enjoy listening to it. Yeah, just continuing on. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth." And yeah, I just find it amazing how our Lord just accepted coming to earth and suffering and going to the cross to die, just to have a relationship with us. And yeah, it's been really cool going through ABF and learning more about atonement and stuff like that. And but just the more I look about or think about the life of Jesus, just how completely opposite it is from the world that we live in today. It's so contrary, but yet it's I don't know, there's not really any other way to live. So yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today and just that we can celebrate communion and just enjoy fellowshipping together, and just thank you for all these men who have shared. And Father, it's just so good to be in your word and to enjoy feasting from it together. And Father, just looking forward to your return. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Just a few thoughts from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 9. Thank you for the thoughts that have been shared here this morning. Special music, the worship team, every aspect of what a body of believers should do as we gather together to remember all that Christ has done for us. And yet we're only too aware, I'm sure, that we read Scripture and we confess that I don't always understand it. And I pray, but the worries and the concerns that I have overwhelm me. And I'm sure glad that God understands me way better than I understand myself or others. And so as we walk through life with its ups and downs and turns and so on, God, having preserved his word, whether you can fully understand it here this morning or whether you can appreciate the things that have been said, God says, listen, I have time. You may not fully understand the things that have been said. The people who have shared them, they've been meditating upon them. You've been meditating on other things. And yet God says, I'm not going to waste any of your pain and your suffering, your disillusionment, your concerns and your burdens. I want that all to come together in a body. And as you remember, as you consider, I bring healing to your heart, to your mind, help you maintain perspective, because even though you're overwhelmed and you're discouraged, and somehow you sometimes feel, you know, nobody else understands what I'm going through, and that's possible, and maybe we can't. But you soon discover that, you know, so-and-so shared something this morning. I know something about what's going on in their life. They've been overwhelmed. But look at that. They're praising God. Peter saw all kinds of things. He saw failure. He experienced failure. If there was somebody who was disillusioned at the death of Christ, it would have been Peter. Lord Jesus told the women, go tell Peter. I know he's lost perspective. And so to read what we're going to read here comes from a person who has experienced, not unlike you or me, discouragement, lost perspective. And I can assure you that it didn't happen necessarily once. It probably happened several times in his life. And he is caring and concerned for this church as a shepherd. He isn't telling people he's arrived. He's pointing us to the one who loves us. Yes, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall see him as he is. And he who has this hope in him purifies himself. As you come to the Lord Jesus, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, you are alive by virtue of the new birth. And you're wrestling with the brokenness of our world because it, in its merciless approach, it tries to suck you into its worldview. Then it seeks to dash you down with its discouragements and this overwhelming sense of hopelessness in our world without Christ. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering, here it is, spiritual sacrifices. What does that look like? Day in and day out, it's loving, it's forgiving, it's being patient, it's being caring. In a moment of despair and sense of overwhelm, say, I don't have that strength. Where do I find that? Well, you find it in this quiet moment where you either have the word read to you, people pray for you. When you don't have that strength yourself, reminded Corny and Mary, welcome back. Prayed for Corny and Mary numerous times. For Dad. As they were laying on the beach. No. Yeah. No, they were seeking to minister to their dad. Remind them that they love them, care for them. When you experience a loss, you can lose perspective pretty quickly. Spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For I say to you, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. You can write down Ephesians 2:20 next to that. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You and I need never experience shame in this life or the next. What do you mean? Peter experienced shame. Yeah. But every time he did, he went to deal with it. And he recognized that he was forgiven. He wants these believers to know that they never need to be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, underline, this stone is precious. How precious is the Lord Jesus in your life? Only for an hour? Only for when you're listening to a particular song? Well, I'm glad that's true. I'm glad that's true in those moments. But he needs to be precious to you because you recognize all that he's done for you. And that's the intent of the breaking of bread, is to focus and help us see all that Christ has done. Those of you who are helping to serve here this morning, if you'd come forward at this time, appreciate that. Let's just bow our heads and I'll give thanks for the loaf, okay? Lord, the beauty of who you are is beyond our comprehension. It's true, Lord, that the evil one has no hold on us. Our destiny has been determined by virtue of your death, your resurrection. And having placed our faith in you, we have been guaranteed life. We're grateful, Lord, that as Peter wrote in various passages that were read here this morning, we were reminded again, time and time again, you do not treat us as our sins deserve. We're deeply loved by you. You care for us. And so help us here today, Lord, to love you and to worship you. Even in the midst of things that are happening in our lives that others don't know about. May we be comforted by the things that we read and the moments that we've meditated upon your goodness here today, your love, your sacrifice. As we partake of this loaf, we realize, Lord, it speaks of the unity that we're to have in you. And so help us to strive to preserve that unity by loving one another deeply from the heart, as we read this morning in 1 Peter 1. May we be blessed as we partake, being reminded, Lord, that we are precious stones in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. First Corinthians 11:23, as the Apostle Paul sought to teach people about the Lord's table. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Lord, we come to you again and just want to thank you for your love, a love that's so amazing and so beyond any words that we can really express how great it is. We thank you for your willingness to take our place on the cross and take care of all our sin, and for just your willingness to allow your blood to be spilled for us. We ask you now to bless the cup as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, again for each one here this morning, and thank you for an opportunity to break bread, to remember you and your death and your resurrection, to remember the promises found in your word, to realize, Lord, that we are part of a body of believers since Pentecost called the church. We're grateful, Lord, that your word tells us that through time we have Old Testament saints, and we're going to meet others that are going to come out of the Great Tribulation and then those out of the millennium, and how we're all going to be gathered together to worship you. In anticipation, Lord, of that day, we bow the knee now. We surrender our lives today, Lord, acknowledging, first of all, that without you we are nothing, and that the life that we have is a gift from you. And so we receive it with thanksgiving. And we're grateful, Lord, that as we have heard here this morning, how important it is to just simply recognize that you are the precious cornerstone, that life comes from you. Help us to share that message with others around us, our families, co-workers, people with whom we rub shoulders with in our places of work. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today, and may we greet one another, and may we see the life in each other, and may that help us to persevere and to tell others. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you. Good to see you.